The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you guys. We are up to 52 donations of $12. If you want to hear Saints Drunk History, we only need 48 more. And then I was drunk Friday on Angels Envy Bourbon. If we have 100 donations, Andrew could just call me up and record that, and you can get drunk history. You can even pick the topic. 48 more.
I thought it was 200.
Well, if they get 200, they get two extra shows. But if they do 100, they get drunk history. 200, they get an extra show. And they're going to want that extra show, Andrew, because they got free agency. We got coaches to hire. You know, they got draft. We got all kinds of stuff. So do you want the two extra shows?
We've got a Trump presidency.
You
went there.
Here's the thing. Like, 2016 was bad enough, Kevin. I'm pretty sure Atlanta's going into Super Bowl. 2017's starting off pretty bad. I mean, because we don't have any Saints news. I mean, watching the games this weekend, I'll put it to you this, Andrew. Andrew, watching the games this weekend, I feel like there was a couple of teams that the Saints are very much closer to getting to the Super Bowl than them. I think the Saints are closer than the Texans, for sure, because Brock Osweiler...
Well, the Texans' defense is lights out, though. Well, I mean, there's so much...
Here's my question, though. Do you think the Texans are closer to the Super Bowl with the number one defense and the worst quarterback in football, or the Saints are closer with a Hall of Fame quarterback and the worst defense in football, or a terrible defense? Like, who's closer?
Which team made the playoffs this year?
The Texans.
That's my answer.
The Texans had the worst offense to ever make the playoffs since the merger, and they're in a horrible division.
That's fair. That's fair, but I still think they're closer. I will say this. I think that's the beauty of the NFL. Things can change very quickly in an offseason. I don't think the Saints are super far away. I think they're closer than they were a year ago. But it's still going to take – I mean, if we're talking Super Bowl legit, like, can the Saints win the Super Bowl? They're going to have to hit the jackpot on three or four moves this offseason, which is very hard to do.
Yeah. Saints news.
I mean, they're still a ways away. I mean, let's start with getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean – the thing is, I feel like the Saints are a lot closer to the Super Bowl than the Texans, but the Saints are still so far. Looking at Atlanta, Kevin, the Saints are – I think they're far away from Atlanta. I know that's going to make people mad, but I watched Atlanta on Saturday, and I was like, Saints are still pretty freaking far away from them as far as
– all you had to do was watch the two games they played against them this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. I didn't watch Ask me how much NFL I watched this weekend.
How much NFL did you watch this weekend?
About under 15 minutes.
Damn. I watched about 20. I watched the second half. I watched all that Dallas. That Dallas game was amazing. Not just because
they
lost.
The, yeah. I watched the last, I think maybe the last 5 minutes of the Dallas Green Bay game. I watched about 5 minutes of the Chiefs and the Steelers, like at the end of the first half. And I actually felt positive for the Chiefs there for a second. And I ended up going to bed. Then the other two games, I watched a grand total of 5 minutes among them. Actually, you know what? That's not true. I watched, I think, two plays from the Falcons game, and that was about it. I just had it on in the background, and then came back and was like, I'm not going to leave this crap on, and then turned it off. So, one, it's the Falcons. I just don't want to watch that. And two, it's like, this kind of plays into like stuff that was going on Twitter today. I just don't feel like watching the playoffs.
Is that because Atlanta's in it, or are you just?
I mean, maybe, but. This past year I've really been getting burned out on football.
Why do you think that? I mean, it's not because it's too violent or anything like that. Are you just like?
No. I mean, combination of things. Just the league being arrogant and full of money grubbing shitheads and. Like not really caring about their fan base. Just it's all just a bunch of platitudinal bullshit. The whole like concussion issue and realize, again, I don't care that it's a violent sport or mind that it's a violent sport. I think just. The cover up associated with it or the lack of caring, it seems, about it. Yeah, that kind of rubs me the wrong way. And I'm sure if the Saints went 11-5 and were in the playoffs, I probably would be more pumped up than I sound right now. But I know for a fact that I wouldn't be wholesale 180 to what I am now.
That's a good point.
I'll say this.
Go ahead. Finish. Oh, no, because I was just going to say, some people were bringing up how Los Angeles is already sort of just like doesn't give two shits about the Chargers already, because they already in one season don't give a shit about the Rams, and now they definitely don't give a shit about the Chargers, and San Diego is now without a team. So now they have no reason to care about the NFL because, and this is something that I can't remember who made this great point, but I totally agree with it. It's that the league needs to understand that it's not the league that has fans. Like the team, people are fans of the teams, not the league. And if people don't have a team to root for, or if they don't feel they have a dog in the fight, they don't give a shit about whatever. Like, everybody watches the Super Bowl because it's a communal event. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know. Otherwise, you'd get those numbers all the time.
No, that the Super
Yeah,
Bowl.
I mean the thing for me is one thing, you know, that I'd want to say, and you know, Kevin, you mentioned just kind of the money hungry thing. The thing that really worries me about the future of the league and the direction this is all headed, and I say this as someone that, I mean, I watched all the playoff games, and I'm still a big consumer, a big fan. I mean, I wouldn't do this podcast otherwise. I'm into the NFL. I love the game, and I'm still very much into it. But the thing that concerns me is the precedent that moving to San Diego from San Diego, because now you've got a small market team that just lost their team to Los Angeles, all the hoopla that goes with it. But you know, 10 years down the road, I'm worried about the Saints now. I'm worried about the precedent it sets.
I would say this about San Diego, and I'm not saying that I'm some sort of Southern California expert because I lived there 2.5 years, but I think this is the first time in the history of maybe professional sports that a team is moving to a city that doesn't want them. You know, most of the time, like, a team will move, I'm trying to think of the Oilers, right? They moved to Tennessee. This was a long time ago, but I'll just use them as an example because they were. Like, Houston was mad and pissed off and sad that they were leaving, but Nashville was pumped about it, and they didn't care that the Titans went 8-8 for, like, 2 years because they have Jeff Fisher, right? They didn't care. Dude, L.A. doesn't give a shit. And here's how you prove it. The Chargers are going to play in the MLS stadium in Carson that holds 27,000 people for 2 years while the new stadium gets built, right? So here's my thing with the NFL is I don't know, Andrew, in 10 years, unless the national economy is booming, like, I think cities are kind of out of the business once Los Angeles gets a team. What other cities are going to want a team? Like, California cities, they can't afford to build a stadium. Because if they could have...
Well, yeah, no, you got plenty of big cities that don't. I mean, you got Vegas.
Vegas will have the Raiders. Vegas will have the Raiders.
Right, right.
But who?
So that's a foregone conclusion.
So who would in 10 years, like, who would want the Saints? Like, what city would want the Saints?
Well, I don't know. London, New Mexico. I mean, they're trying to make this, you know, more of an international thing. Here's my concern. You look at the Saints, and right now, I mean, fan support is great, and they have just done a bunch of upgrades to the dome, which is critical. But what happens when they're 3-13? Well, after Drew Brees and Sean Payton are gone, and at some point, you know, we'll navigate some tough seas. I don't know if it'll be a year from now or 5 years from now, but at some point the Saints are going to be awful and they're going to be 3-13. And timing is everything. And if it coincides with when ownership, whoever that is after Benson, wants a new stadium and they start to squeeze the government and the taxpayers for a new stadium, which Louisiana won't pay for because they're broke as hell, and we'll get to a point where there will be the allure of, well, Louisiana doesn't want to buy me a new stadium. We're 3-13. Nobody's going to the games. And for anyone in Louisiana, it's like, oh, that'll never happen. I was at games that were blacked out. That was an actual thing that happened in the 90s. There were games that were blacked out locally because they couldn't sell out the stadium. So it can happen. It's happened before. And if it gets to that point, then the Saints will move. And what this precedent that's being set here with bailing on San Diego and going to LA is that ownership after one bad year can cry for a new stadium. And if they're not getting it, they can blame it on the fans for not supporting them. And they can just jump ship to a big city and the NFL will let them do it. And it's, and small market teams are going to be exposed to that from now on.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you don't know in 5 years, you don't with President Trump, you don't know what it's going to be in 2 years or whatever. So, I mean, I think the economy in a sense matters a lot, because if the economy is like raging and going great like it was in the 90s, let's say, then you have all these cities that are like flush with money that are like, we have all this money to spend.
Let's build a stadium.
Yeah, instead of like spending it on roads or education that may or may not be a good thing, we can build a stadium and we can get an NFL team. And if we get an NFL team, that means we're big time, you know? So then cities like San Antonio would be hard because that would be the third Texas team. They'd probably fight it. But like Portland or like I'm trying to think of other cities. St. Louis might make another go at it.
I guarantee you St. Louis is not getting a team, because the governor here has publicly stated that the state will not give any public funds for any sports stadium whatsoever.
Oh, okay. So they're out. So I mean, it becomes I think it becomes hard, especially with Vegas off the map. And let me say, I know it sucks that the Raiders, if they finally get good and they move to Las Vegas, but if you ever wanted to put a team in a city where it didn't matter how good or bad they were and you were guaranteed sellouts for all of eternity, Las Vegas would be the place. Like, the Raiders will say either it's going to be filled with Raider fans from Vegas or it's going to be filled with opposing fans. I mean, think of it, Andrew and Kevin. Like, think of it like if I know the Saints won't play the Raiders again in Oakland probably, what, till like six more years? But, like, say the Saints played the Raiders next year and it was in – or 2 years or 3 years and it was in Vegas – you'd be like, oh, that's the road trip I'm going because it's cheap and it's in Vegas. It doesn't matter if the Saints are terrible or not. I'm going to Vegas, right? You know? So I just see
that. That's a fair point, but that still doesn't explain like 31 other teams. I mean,
no, it doesn't. I mean, I think as these new stadiums come, like Atlanta is going to be interesting. We'll get to their NFC Championship game later, but they're moving into the, what do they call it, the human butthole or
Goatsy Stadium.
They are doing seat licenses, and I don't think they're going to sell them all because Atlanta is not that great of a sports town there. It's a college football town. So like, as these new stadiums come on board, and like, I mean, I'll tell you what, when the Saints, if they ever get a new stadium, like, people in New Orleans ain't going to buy no seat licenses. They're just not, you know?
Right. The money's not there. Like, I'm sure, I can't even think of any rich family that I would still know of. The only name that would jump out of my head is Al Copeland, but he's long since passed.
No, and people were like, hey, the Mannings could buy them. I'm like, the Mannings are rich. They ain't billion rich.
What about the lawyer? One call. That's all.
Morris Bart.
Yeah,
Morris Bart.
Yeah, Morris Bart. Right.
No, right. I mean, well, they could.
Morris Bart ain't buying all the PCLs.
What did Morris Bart PSLs. Change his? What did he change his? It's like something. Click it now.
Yeah, his slogan.
He got modern with the times. One call. That's all is old news.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, you got to remember when the NBA bought the Hornets back and they wanted to sell them to somebody in Louisiana, and it was Benson or the Gary Chason guy.
Or Schwest or
yeah, like that was it. Like they don't have like, you know, like here's the thing. Where, like, Benson is the richest person in Louisiana because he owns the Saints and the Pelicans. The dude who owns the Texans, he isn't even in the top 10 in richest people in Texas. You know? So, like, that's the difference, you know? I mean, they don't have a ton of billionaires in Louisiana. They have one. It's Tom Benson. And he's, what is he, going on 90? I
tell you what, I have a question. I was considering this today driving to work. This goes back to the thing I saw on Twitter. Let's say, I don't know, 5 years from now. Let's say in 5 years the Saints relocate, and let's say they relocate to, I don't know, Mobile or something. Like let's say they move. No. I'm serious. Let's say they move to Mobile. And they become the Gulf Coast Saints.
Yeah.
Are you still following and supporting the team?
That's a good question. Andrew, you got an answer? I'd have to think
about
it.
And it's an interesting question.
San Antonio, no, I would walk, but Gulf Coast, yes. I would remain.
Here's an interesting point, my friend at work who's a diehard Charger fan. He said that he really hopes that they change the name of the Chargers in L.A. so they can be dead, because they're dead to him already, and then they can just be dead to everybody. Like, if the Saints would move to San Antonio or wherever and it wasn't the Gulf Coast Saints, like, I would be done with them, and I would hope that they would change the name, and I could just either be done with the NFL or or I could pick another team, or I can just watch the Premier League on Sunday and be done with it. Like, I don't. It's a great question. I don't know. This is a depressing podcast, by the way. I don't know what I would do. Like, if the Saints left and went to somewhere and it won, they weren't the Gulf Coast, would you just give it up? Would you give up NFL football entirely, Andrew? Would you pick a new team? What would you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to think about that.
Not till 2025.
Let's move on. Yeah, I can't even. This is, I'm really starting to get sad here.
The Saints.
Right, this is bringing me back to San Antonio, which was very close to being a true thing. And I'm really thankful that it wasn't.
And it reminds us to always and forever fuck San Antonio.
Yeah. And you know that puts 7-9 in perspective. Like, yes, I'm pissed and it sucks that the Saints are 7-0 the last 3 years, or 7-9. But you know, we have a football team. At least what's going on in San Diego is not happening to us right now, because as a fan, I can tell you it almost happened to the Saints, and that shit is the worst.
No, Paul Tagliabue saved them. Don't kid yourself. We'll do that. Maybe if you donate, if 48 more people donate, we can have drunk history. Me and Andrew can both get plowed and do the 2005 Saints, because that's a story you want to hear. And I got some inside dirt from Kenny, the long passed away Kenny Wilkerson, and other people. That was some crazy ass shit in 2005. That's why you need to donate. Kevin, do you have to eject?
Yes, I was getting ready to tell you that I have to eject. After depressing everybody, I'm getting out.
All right, well, see you next week. Hopefully Atlanta's right, not the NFC champion. All right.
Oh, thank you. Please.
Andrew, the Saints actually made a little news today. They're interviewing Darius Swinton of the 49ers as a possible special teams coach. I figured it would be the Bobs would get the job. I figured that was a
yeah.
I mean,
I really thought Kevin O'Day would be handed the job. So I was surprised to see that they're bringing guys in. I don't know if O'Day's getting the job and then they'd have an assistant, but you know, it looks like Swinton's kind of been a guy that has been a head special teams guy for pretty much everywhere he's been, and he's had some success. So if they hire him.
Well,
I don't know if they would retain O'Day. I'm guessing O'Day would stay as like the kicking game coordinator.
Here's what I like.
And this other guy would be the head.
The one thing I do like about Swinton, and not that being an assistant coach rubs off, because if that was true, all of Belichick's assistants that fail everywhere would be good. But the dude in Kansas City right now, he's like known as like the best special teams coach. I forget his name. And this guy, Swinton, apprenticed under him in 2012, so that's a good sign if they go that way.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I just, you know, it's just interesting. I thought that was done. O'Shea would get the job, and it was a wrap, but maybe not. Bill Johnson got a job. He's going to be working under Wade Phillips in L.A., which is interesting.
I don't think Bill Johnson. I mean. At least Bill Johnson had ups and downs.
There were
times people were really calling for his head around, you know, just when we had no pass rush. Certainly in the year of Spagnuolo, people were really calling for Bill Johnson's head. So, but at least with Bill Johnson, he's developed some guys.
Yeah.
Like there's he's got Junior Gillespie on his wall as a guy he's developed.
Yeah.
You know, Charles Grant, Will Smith, Cameron Jordan. So, there's been some successful guys, at least. I mean, Vitt has nothing.
Vitt has nothing. I don't know if Vitt's going to get another gig. I really don't. Because he's kind of old, you know? Although he's he is kind of beloved maybe around the league, but I don't know. So we have a ton of questions from people. And before we get to Atlanta and all that, in the AFC, which team do you think, Andrew, is better equipped to beat Atlanta if, God forbid, they win? Like, is it New England or is it Pittsburgh? Who's better equipped to beat them?
I just think their offense is so good. I mean, I think they just show that not even Seattle can slow them down. So, and, you know, not that Seattle is what they once were, but at the same time, I think you look at what Atlanta was able to do to them. And they're scoring on anyone.
I mean, they really. I mean, we saw the Saints play them twice. Just completely incapable of stopping them.
And they're 2011 Saints good on offense. They just are.
Yes.
And you can knock, yes. And you can knock them because they're Atlanta and all this. Like, that offense is – they – I don't know. And even the 2011 offense, I mean, they played that San Francisco defense, which was phenomenal. And that San Francisco defense, it slowed the Saints down for about a quarter and a half in that playoff game. And they knocked Drew Brees around. And I think he threw a couple interceptions and had a fumble. And then Pierre Thomas fumbled. I think the Saints had a shit ton of turnovers in that game. But they still scored points. And they still almost won. And I just think the only way you're going to beat Atlanta is if Matt Ryan makes a
you outscore him.
You outscore him, and Matt Ryan makes a couple mistakes because you're not holding them down. And I can tell you, Green Bay is not holding them down. I mean,
my concern with New England and Green Bay is that neither of them are very excellent run offenses. And I think when you get one dimensional with passing, like yes, you can get into a shootout with them, but. I just think their pass rush is scary. Vic Beasley led the NFL in sacks. So, you know, they can get to the quarterback. And when they get sacks, you know, if you're throwing every play, they're going to get a couple stops. You know, they're just by sheer sacks. And, you know, that means potentially there's a ball that gets tipped. And there's potentially, you know, if the quarterback gets hit as he's throwing, it turns into a turnover. So it starts to create this whole X factor. So I think – if I had to pick one team, you know, to go back to your original question, I would pick the Steelers because I just think with Le'Veon Bell, they have a dynamic running offense that would keep that defense honest. And, you know, you can still score on the Falcons and you can definitely expose them. But I think the Steelers offense is a little bit more multi-layered and can hurt them in more ways. Whereas, you know, Brady and Aaron Rodgers would just go full on aerial assault.
James Harrison is the best old man defensive player I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought
– Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I thought Ricky Jackson at 37 when he had 9.5 sacks for San Francisco in 1995, I thought that was the best old man defensive player I'd ever seen. James Harrison yesterday was unbelievable. Like,
I feel like he's – you know how it takes a while for those tests to come back? I feel like he's gone all in on performance-enhancing drugs because he's like, well, if I fail a test, oh, well, they can suspend me when I'm retired.
Dude, he spends $350,000 a year on his body. And they're like, oh, he's doing weird – yeah, he's like, oh, he's doing weird things. I'm like, $350,000? He's going to Germany 4 times a year. Like you say, dude, I think you're right. I think that's a great theory. Like, he's like, you know what? I'm just going all in, and if they catch me, I'm done.
It's kind of like Ray Lewis with the deer antler spray. You know, when he recovered from torn bicep and he was playing in the Super Bowl, he was just like, yep, you know, I'm going all in, performance enhancing, and if you catch me, then you can suspend me after I'm retired.
All right, we have some questions. They don't have any other. When is this? Is the Senior Bowl? Is it this week? No, the Senior Bowl is. Is it next week? Is it the Saturday of the championship games, or is it the week between the Super Bowl? No, that's the Pro.
I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was this weekend.
It's this Saturday.
It's also the East-West Shrine Game, so I get confused.
Yeah, I think it's next. I think it's next week. I think it's the bye.
Now, traditionally, the Saints have drafted more prospects out of the East-West Shrine Game than they have out of the Senior Bowl.
Yeah,
Loomis has. So,
yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting. The one thing I will say, and I've argued with people on Twitter, and we can get into this right before we get into the questions, Andrew.
All right, I'm looking at it right now. Sorry. So the East-West Shrine Game is Saturday.
Yeah.
So that's this weekend.
Yeah.
Coming up. And then the Senior Bowl is going to be the following weekend on the 28th. So, yeah, back-to-back Saturday. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
My theory is NFL free agency – you thought it was bonkers last year. It's going to be more bonkers this year. Like, I believe whatever prices you assign a player, like, add 15 or 20%. Like, if you're like, oh, Boye, that corner from the Texans, Boye is going to get. If you think the Saints are going to give him four, if you think it's going to take 4 years and $45 million and $20 million guaranteed, like bump it up to like 4 years, $60 million with 25 guaranteed. Like I think the prices are going to be ridiculous. Like if you
Well, I mean, we were surprised last year, and I think it'll be worse this year.
I mean, Tracy Porter.
The cap's going up.
Yeah, Tracy Porter, who, legend, God bless him, he got healthy. He got $5 million a year from the Bears to be a nickel corner, to be a nickel corner. And he's okay. Like, that's, like you know, he's nice. He's a nice little player. For if you want, you know, like, hey, if the Saints had him this year as a third quarter or third corner or a starting corner, we'd have loved it. But, like, that's the going rate. Like, who's the corner for the Raiders that Brandon Cooks just torched? Is it? I want to say.
Oh, Smith.
Smith. Yeah, he got 40 million. He got 40 million, 4 years, $10 million a year from the Raiders. Now I know it's not all guaranteed, but I think he got like $13 million guaranteed, and that was last year. So I just think like.
Yeah, Sean Smith. Yeah.
Like Melvin Ingram. Like, and I think Melvin Ingram, and you're going to think I'm crazy, Andrew. I think he's going to get $35 million guaranteed, because he's coming off a year.
Oh, easily. It easily could. Yeah.
Because he's coming off 8 and 11 sacks. So, like...
There's also... What's going to be interesting, too, is don't forget, you know, you look at all these available players, you think you know what free agency's like, but really we have no idea, because a lot of these guys are going to get locked up and sign deals before the free agency period hits. So those guys will go off the market, and then you're going to see a bunch of guys cut. Mm-hmm. That you don't expect, you know, and we'll see some of them coming, and then some of them will surprise you, but it's kind of hard to predict at this point who becomes available. So when you look at those unrestricted free agents and you're kind of plotting out free agency and thinking, oh, I want the Saints to get him and him, you know, half these guys are going to sign before March 1st, you know, because teams are able to negotiate with their own players and they want to try to lock them up before they even get to free agency, and they've got cap money to burn. So, you know, a lot of these guys are going to be off the market before the market even exists. And because they will retain their own players with huge contracts, it will force them to cut other guys on their team that have inflated contracts that aren't performing.
Yeah, and that was an interesting thing. It's a cool site, Over the Cap. They do a really good job. They had articles, most likely players to be cut, and they did every position. So there'll be some guys that'll be cut. That you'll be like, oh, you know, I think especially for the Saints, like if they want to go, I think they, I mean, I just, Andrew, I think they're going to go in free agency, and I think they're going to do Leary at guard from Dallas. I think that's going to be a foregone conclusion. I think that's going to be I'll make a wager. I think he's going to be the first guy they sign. At guard, and I think they're going to either go corner or defensive end, because I think the thing is I think they realize that the way to go now is to throw bodies at your biggest hole. Like last year for linebacker, granted they didn't have as much money, but they didn't just sign one guy. They signed two or three. And I think they're going to try to do that at defensive end. You can call me crazy, but that's my theory. Like they're going to sign a couple in free agency and they're going to draft one or two, and they're just going to throw bodies at it and see what shakes out. Is that crazy, you think, or
I don't think that's crazy.
Or if they wouldn't do it at defensive end, where else would they do it? Would they do it at linebacker? Would they do it at corner?
Maybe at corner, yeah. I mean, I think right now your only solid guy is Bro, and he's coming back from, you know, he came back from a broken leg, and you know he's just been really banged up. So, I think corner is still like it's, you know, as much as they've invested in that position in recent years with Browner and Keenan Lewis, like if both of those guys are already off the team, and they've spent a lot of money on. You know, trying to get that position right, and it hasn't really worked out, so they've got to keep going to the well.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be It's going to be interesting. But the thing is, like, a lot of these teams have cap. But the thing is, like, New England, they have a ton of cap. But they never – New England never spends money in free agency. Cincinnati never spends. Like, they'll have teams they just won't spend. And then they'll spend enough to get to the floor. But there are teams that – like, I don't see New England going in for a mega deal. Like, they just – like, Bill Belichick, they just don't do that, you know? Like, New England's not going to go and get a corner or Ingram at pass rusher and spend, $70 million. They're just not. So even though these teams – they have a lot of teams with all these cap rooms. Like, San Francisco has a ton of cap room. They're not going to spend it, you know? So even though you may think all these teams have cap room, all these teams aren't going to spend. They're just not, you know? I mean, they'll spend enough to get to the floor, maybe. But it's just you know, certain teams just don't spend. So I think it'll be interesting, and I cannot wait. So let's see. This is from Joe. You wake up in a zombie infested building, Andrew. Which Saints player coach put you there, and who do you want help getting you out?
Do I have to pick a coach to help get me out?
No. Which player coach do you think, if you just woke up, if you were like drugged and you woke up, which Saints player or coach was most likely to put you there, and which?
Well,
Saints
Darren Sharper, obviously.
Oh, Darren. Yeah, I mean that's the clear choice. Who do you want help getting you out?
Well, I need a guy that's resourceful. You know, so IQ needs to be high. I need some MacGyver-esque ability.
Craftiness.
You know, to opening hidden doors. So it wouldn't be Stephon Anthony, I can promise you that.
Willie Snead's crafting.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, Bill William the Fourth.
I think this is a surprising move.
His name is so distinguished too, you know, William Snead the Fourth.
Yeah, I like my pick would be Sterling Moore. He's crafty and he's a fighter.
Yeah.
He's scrappy, you know.
I have to say, you know, he's kind of an underrated Twitter follow.
He is.
Sterling Moore. I kinda like him.
I want him back. I want all the corners back. I want him to draft a corner. I want him to sign a bunch. I want him to bring like a dozen to camp, Andrew, and when half of them get injured, you might end up better than this year, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and the worst case scenario is you're cutting like a Kyle Wilson or if there's one thing I've learned in the NFL the last couple of years is like the way teams throw the ball and the way these little bitty corners get hurt, like you can't have enough of them. This is from Brian, Saints Nation podcast. He has craziest inauguration controversy theory. Brian, this one is really, really simple. Donald Trump, in his inauguration speech on Friday, does it in full, perfect Russian. I mean, that's it. That's it, man. He just does it in full, perfect Russian, and Red Dawn happens at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon for all you old people that know 80s movies. If you don't, Google it and watch it on Netflix. It's awesome. What would be your narcotic liquor combo of choice if Atlanta beats Green Bay? For me, I just bought a fifth of Angel's Envy, one of the best bourbons there is. That would be my drink of choice. Andrew, if you had to watch Atlanta...
Angel Dust.
Angel Dust. What quarterback should we draft this year, and how low round-wise would you be willing to pull the trigger on?
Wait, so I have to name a quarterback and which round?
Either or, if you don't have a college.
Yeah, I think you have to consider Deshaun Watson if he's available at 11. I'm serious.
I mean,
I think Trubisky. I still think, you know, right now people are on a high from him and how he performed in the national title game, but I think once you get to the combine and once you get to evaluating these guys and the arm strength and the size, I think Trubisky will go back to being the first quarterback. I'm not a big fan. I don't think it's a good call, but I think NFL teams will convince themselves that he's the better prospect. If he falls to 11, I absolutely consider it. Those are the only two quarterbacks I think are going in the top 10.
Here's the thing.
So I think you go pass rusher. There's too many good ones.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with, you know, my thing is if the Saints want to pick a quarterback in whatever round, it doesn't matter. Like, I agree with the Nick Underhill's theory. Like, you got to have a quarter. Like, you need to think about the future. You got to try. They should have tried more than just Grayson over the last couple of years. I agree with that. The thing is with the Saints is they have so few picks because they do so much trading. They don't have any excess picks to waste. But my thing is, like, if you can pick a good player, like, you never go wrong picking a good player, you know? So if I don't think Deshaun Watson, I mean, maybe, I mean, at first he was rated like the number one pick. Then I saw he's like middle first round. Now I see he's back up to the top 15. I mean, to me, if say the Saints would pick like a pass rusher at 11, say they pick Barnett from Tennessee, and like for some odd reason Deshaun Watson fell and they really liked him and they wanted to trade back up to get him into the first round, like I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like, you know, he'd be – the thing is, though, Andrew, if they would pick Deshaun Watson, like say they picked him at 11 or they traded up to get him, you create a shitstorm of splash reports all year long that are just going to be – because then you have Drew Brees playing out the string, and if the Saints are losing, it's just chaos. Because then you have splash reports of Sean Payton leaving and Drew Brees leaving, so it's just chaos. So part of me just – I guess part of me, Andrew, wants to be selfish, and I want the Saints to go all in, and that doesn't involve Deshaun Watson, even if he's good for the Drew Brees. I just want to go all in with the Drew Brees and Sean Payton last year, and I don't want any of this splash reports, is Drew Brees leaving, is this and that. I just want to go push it all into the middle, and drafting Deshaun Watson, you don't do that. Like, you're hedging your bet, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I want a pass rusher. So, you know, going back to the original question, I just don't know that I want the Saints to draft a quarterback. Because if you're not going to do it in the first round, then I just think the odds of landing a Dak Prescott in the fourth round or whatever, a guy of that quality, yeah. I mean, it's rare. You know, it's very rare that you find a quarterback after the first round that ends up being anything.
And let's be real, everybody was wrong about Dak Prescott. Because if they knew what he was, man, Cleveland would have picked him number one. You know? I mean, Atlanta winning the Super Bowl. I asked people to say what would be worse than Atlanta winning the Super Bowl. Atlanta winning the Super Bowl would be worse than $4 a gallon gas.
Disagree?
No. Allen says a really bad case of hemorrhoids after taco and tequila night at Poncho's Mexican Buffet. Ooh, that'd be bad.
Disagree?
The feeling you get after gorging on a CC's Pizza Buffet. Ralph as a sober companion. Sean Canfield as starting QB. Blake says chlamydia. Trump winning the presidential election. Sorry, MP61, that happened. Going 0-16 while Breeze is playing for the Falcons. I don't know how that would happen. So let's get to the game. I guess, do you see Atlanta beating Green Bay before we get out of here? Do you see Atlanta beating Green Bay Sunday?
I think there's a chance they lose. I believe they will win, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think Green Bay's defense is even close enough to being able to stop them. Like, Dallas moved the ball at will. And the thing is,
the only chance is Rodgers going apeshit.
And I think just going nuts.
I mean,
I know the Packers won yesterday, but I feel like Rodgers' super hot streak, like, he cooled off a little bit. Like, he had a pick. He had a couple of missed throws. Like, he's not the total inferno that he was, and he sort of cooled off. And if Rodgers is just like pretty good or even borderline great, like, that's not going to be enough, I don't think, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I felt like Dallas was more equipped to beat Atlanta. Well, first of all, they would have had him at home. But secondly, Ezekiel Elliott is so good. And I feel like, again, you've got to be able to run the football in Atlanta to keep Vic Beasley and that pass rush honest, because that's really the one thing defensively that they can do to kind of give their offense a chance to win the game for him.
Yeah, and I was kind of rooting for Dallas like you yesterday. I was kind of not like super hard or anything, but I was kind of watching. I was like, yeah, oh, maybe Dallas.
I felt like that was a better path to Atlanta not winning the Super Bowl.
You know, let me look up the line real quick. I hate to say it, but I think Atlanta's going to win, and I think.
We're in agreement that, like, whatever it means, Tom Brady, Mike Tomlin, Mike McCarthy, none of these guys I'm huge fans of, but, it. All costs, it's whatever it takes for Atlanta not to win.
Atlanta's
if Brady has to win another Super Bowl to make that happen, so be it.
Atlanta's a 4.5-point favorite against Green Bay. And the thing is, like, if Atlanta wins a Super Bowl, then Matt Ryan becomes a made guy, you know? And then
the other hope is that Atlanta kind of implodes, you know, and that they have a history of doing that.
Yeah, and it would be the last game in the Georgia Dome to implode. The thing is, has Matt Ryan had any really awful games this year? I can't think of it.
He hasn't had awful games, but he did have a pick six and then the pick two against Kansas City.
Kansas City, yeah.
Which, you know, he was like solely responsible for that loss.
Atlanta losing would be delightful. The thing for me, Andrew, I guess the thing that worries me the most is, Atlanta seems really on the right track. Like they had a really good draft this past year, and they got Beasley, and they got the kid. What's the kid? Deion, is it James or Jones from LSU?
Deion Jones, yeah. Then they've got Neal, the safety.
And they don't even have their best corner. Trufant tore a knee. So, I think they're on the right road, and I see Carolina in decline. I really do. Like, I think there's a good chance that next year will be Ron Rivera's last year. Like, I can see Carolina not rebounding and doing well, and they being gone with Ron Rivera. So that's the frustrating thing. I think Atlanta is clearly the team in the NFC South that's on the upswing, that's the best. And I think Dirk Cutter is not that good of a coach for Tampa. So we'll see. So do you think it'll be? So give me your Super Bowl prediction. Who's it going to be?
Falcons. I'm going to say Falcons Steelers.
Falcons Steelers. That would
be. I think the Steelers are going to surprise.
I'm going to say it's going to be Atlanta, New England. So you'll have like the Matt Ryan from Boston College versus Tom Brady angle. New England and Atlanta, like, that would be a Super Bowl, like, I might just get blackout drunk and sleep through. Like, jeez.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a worse combination for a Super Bowl, Andrew. Atlanta and New England. Could you think of a worse, like, for a Saints thing? Like, what would be?
No. That is the worst possible scenario.
Yeah, Kevin would probably
it's
be.
It's the worst.
For Kevin, it would probably be Atlanta, Pittsburgh, but I think for us, I think like just the word like oh
God. Oh, there's no winning here. There's no winning either way. I mean, it's not like Falcons Steelers is if it's better, it's negligible. the Packers basically have to win out.
I don't know. I think the Packers hot. I think Atlanta. I think, unfortunately, it's going to be Atlanta, New England, and I think Atlanta is going to romp Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers' hot streak is done, and it's going to be Atlanta 42.
Yeah, how long can he continue to support this questionable roster on his own?
I think it's going to be like Atlanta, like 30. I'm going to say Atlanta 38-21. And it's going to be the worst kind of Sunday for Saints fans. It's going to be not only is Atlanta going to win, but it's going to be a romp, and you're just going to have to sit on your watching Atlanta fans have a complete fun in the second half as they're romping Green Bay, which is just the fucking worst.
The thing is, you know, the Packers are banged up. The Falcons, you know, besides Trufan and Julio Jones has kind of been, you know, nursing some stuff, they've been really healthy. In fact, they're the only team in the NFL that's had the same offensive line every game all season long.
Wow.
So, you know, and they have a good offensive line, and, you know, they've been fortunate. They're a little running back. You know, Devontae Freeman's been healthy, and Matt Ryan has been healthy. So the Falcons have had a lot of luck when it comes to health this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the Super Bowl. I mean, like, when the Saints won the Super Bowl, they didn't have lucky health, Andrew, throughout the whole year, as people will tell. I mean, their secondary got beat to hell the last month, but they got healthy. And when they got to
offensively, they were always healthy.
Yeah. You know, so you need – I mean, fans don't like you to talk about luck because they feel like it – when you say they're lucky, it sort of – they think you're giving their team a slight. But it's not. I mean, the Saints were lucky as hell to win the Super Bowl. I mean, they took advantage of it. But I think in football, more so than any of the other sports, like, luck is a huge compartment, a huge piece of it, because you only play 16 games and the game's violent as hell. So health is just a huge chunk of it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we'll be next week. Remember, people, donate. We're 48 donations away. You get drunk history. The fun we can have this offseason if I'm getting drunk and Andrew is interviewing me about moments in Saints history. So go there, donate the $12. You're going to spend that much on coffee and drugs probably before lunch tomorrow. So go ahead and do it. So for Kevin, for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.